is me again, Hank the Cowdog. As I recall, it was the 14th of May when the silver monster bird swooped down on the ranch and threatened us with death and destruction. Or was it May the 15th? Could have been the 16th. Anyway, silver monster birds are huge creatures with a body that's long and skinny, resembles the body of a snake, which makes me think they might be a crossbreed between a bird and a reptile. The head sort of confirms that because it has a sharp nose and two wicked eyes. In other words, it ain't your usual bird head. Oh yes, did I mention that they don't have a beak? No beak whatsoever. That's a pretty important clue right there. It ain't natural. Show me a bird without a beak and I've got some questions to ask him. Another thing about silver monster birds is that they have shiny feathers. Not your usual dull brown or glossy black, but bright, shiny silver feathers. And a lot of monster birds will have a white marking on the side which resembles a star. They have big drooping wings with several things growing out the underside. I call them things because I don't have a technical term for them yet. Whatever they are, starlings and blackbirds and sparrows don't have them. They may be poison stingers, I don't know. These silver monster birds don't flap their wings. They glide like a buzzard or a hawk. And did I mention that they roar? Yes, sir, they roar, and I mean loud. Your ordinary bird doesn't do that. He might cheep or squawk or sing a little tune, but you very rarely find one that roars. It's the roar that makes the silver monster birds a little scary. It takes a special kind of dog to stand up to that roar, hold his ground, and keep on barking. I suspect that even some cow dogs would run from that terrible sound. But on this ranch, we don't run from danger, we run to it. Anyway, one day last week, I caught a silver monster bird trying to slip onto the ranch. He should have known he couldn't get away with it. I mean, that roar is a dead giveaway. My ears are very sensitive to certain sounds, and there aren't too many roars that get past me. Grover and I had put in a long night patrolling headquarters, fairly routine as I recall. About the only excitement came a little after midnight, when Grover got into a scuffle with a cricket. I told him to save his energy for bigger stuff. I mean, crickets cause a certain amount of damage around the place, but they ain't what you'd call a major threat. I figure Pete can handle the cricket department and we'll take care of the more dangerous assignments. Of course, the problem with that is that Pete won't do it. Too dang lazy. He's a typical cat, but I don't want to get started on cats. Anyway, Grover and I came in from night patrol and bedded down under the gas tanks. I scratched around on my gunny sack and got it fluffed up just right and had curled up for a long nap when all at once I heard it. My right ear went up. My ears are highly trained, don't you see, and they sort of have a mind of their own. I can be dead asleep and lost in beautiful dreams, but those ears never sleep. They never go off duty. This is fairly typical of your blue ribbon top-of-the-line cow dogs. I suppose I was dreaming about Beulah again. Darn woman is hard to get off my mind. I don't let women distract me during working hours, but sometimes I lose control when I'm asleep. I mean, a guy can keep an iron grip on himself only so long. Every once in a while, he kind of goes to seed. Well, I heard the roar. My right ear went up. My left ear went up. Then my head shot up. I glanced around. Beulah? My sawed-off, short-haired, stub-tailed assistant lifted his head and stared at me.
I'm not Beulah. I'm Grover.
I studied the runt for a second, and my head began to clear. I know who you are.
How come you called me Beulah?
I didn't.
I'm almost sure you did.
Grover, almost sure might be close enough for some lines of work, but in the security business, you have to be positive. You need to work on that.
Okay, Hank.
Now Now, what's that noise? Drover looked up in the trees and rolled his eyes.
I don't hear any.
And right then he heard the roar. His eyes got as big as saucers and he started to shiver.
What is it, Hank?
I don't know, but we're fixing to find out. I've got a hunch that it's a silver monster bird.
A silver monster bird?
I turned my head just for a second, and when I looked back, Drover was gone. At first, I thought he might have headed up for the machine shed, but then I saw his gunny sack quivering. Get out from under there. We got work to do. I'm putting this ranch under red alert.
But, Hank, that thing roars!
The roar was getting louder all the time. Come on, son. It's time for battle stations. If that bird lands, it's liable to be a fight to the death.
But, Hank, my foot hurts and I got a headache.
I took a corner of his gunny sack in my teeth and jerked it away. And there was Drover, my assistant head of ranch security, quivering like a tub full of raw liver. Get up and stay behind me. This ain't drill. This is red alert.
Okay, Hank, I'll try, but red alert's pretty serious, isn't it? Oh, my foot hurts.
I took the lead and went streaking out into the pasture south of the house. I headed straight up to the big cottonwood tree between the house and the creek and set up a forward position. I could see him now, coming in low over the hills and heading straight towards us. It was a silver monster bird, all right. One of the biggest I'd ever seen. He had his big droopy wings out, and his eyes were going back and forth across the ground. He was looking for something to swoop down on and kill. I could see that right off. I mean, if you've seen as many of these monster birds as I have, you sort of learn to read their thoughts. This one had murder on his mind. Okay, Drover, listen up. I don't want to repeat myself. We've got steers in this home pasture. That's what the monster bird's after, them steers. He's going to try to swoop down and pick up a steer and fly off with him. Drover's teeth were chattering.
A whole steer?
Yes, sir. They dive down and snatch him up and eat him in the air. And I mean bones and hair and teeth, ears, tails, everything. It's our job to keep him from doing that.
What would he do if he caught a dog instead of a steer?
We don't have an answer to that question.
I'd kind of like to know before we do anything radical.
Use your imagination.
My leg hurts, Hank. I think I better...
Stand your ground and listen. When I count to three, we'll go over the top and let him have it. Don't save anything back. If he comes in low enough, we'll try to grab him.
Grab him? But Hank, what would we do with him?
I studied on that for a second. I hadn't thought that far ahead. I guess just bite and scratch and fight for your life. You ready?
No.
Well, ready or not, this is it. Combat. Red alert. I peeked over the top of the log. He was heading straight toward us.
Good Lord, Hank! Look how big he is! And his eyes! And his wings are smoking!
One!
Hank, my leg!
Two!
He's killing me!
Three! Attack, Grover! Charge! Bonsai! I leaped over the dead tree and threw myself into the monster bird's path. It was him or me. I bared my fangs and set up a ferocious bark. Probably the ferociousest bark I ever made. The roar was deafening. I mean, it shook the ground. Never heard anything quite so loud or frightful in all my career. No ordinary dog could have stood his ground against that thing. He kept coming, so I leaped into the air and snapped at him. Another foot or two, and I might have put a fang lock on him. But when he saw my teeth coming at him, he made the only sensible decision and quit the country. I mean, he pointed himself north and evacuated, and he never looked back. The smoke and roar faded into the distance. And don't you ever try that again. Next time you won't get off so easy. I turned to Drover. He was lying flat on the ground with his paws over his ears. His eyes were shut tight. He wouldn't get no medals for bravery, but at least he hadn't run. Okay, Drover, you can come out now.
Are we dead?
Nope. Against near impossible odds, we just whipped a silver monster bird. Drover cracked his eyes, looked around in a full circle, and sat up.
How bad was it?
How bad? Almost beyond description, Drover. When he had me in his claws...
He had you in his claws? No fooling?
You didn't see it? Yep. He had these enormous claws with big hooks on the end, and he reached down and grabbed me.
What did you do?
What did I do? Well, I called on an old trick that my granddaddy once told me about. I tore off his whole leg and left him with a bloody stump.
You did?
Certainly did. Why do you think he flew away in such a hurry? I mean, that bird was scared when he left out of here, and I have my doubts that we'll ever see him again. Drover looked around.
Where's the leg?
Oh, it's around here somewhere. We'll run into it one of these days. Can't miss it. Heck, it was almost as big as this tree.
You want me to look for it?
Not now. I don't know about you, Drover, but I'm ready to shower out and shut her down for a few hours. I think we've earned ourselves some sleep. And with that, we headed for our favorite spot on the ranch, the place just west of the house where the septic tank overflows and forms a beautiful pool of green water. In the security business, you learn to live your life a day at a time because you never know if you'll make it past that next monster. Any one of them is liable to be your last. A lot of dogs can't handle that kind of pressure, but there's others of us who kind of thrive on danger. When you're in that category, you learn to savor the precious moments. I mean, the little things that most dogs take for granted. Like a roll in the sewer after a big battle. There's nothing quite like it, believe me. You come in hot and bloody and tore up and wore out, proud of yourself on the one hand, but just darn near exhausted on the other. And you walk up to that pool of lovely green water and, well, it's hard to describe the wonderfulness of it. That first plunge is probably the best. When you step in and plop down and feel the water moving over your body. Then you roll around and kick your legs in the air and let your nose feast on that deep, manly aroma. Your poodles and your chihuahuas and your other varieties of house dogs never know the savage delight of a good ranch bath. If they ever found out what they're missing, they'd never be the same again. There's just something about it that makes a dog proud to be a dog. Well, I climbed out of the sewer and shook myself and sat down in the warm sunshine. Grover was still standing in water up to his knees. I noticed that he hadn't rolled around in it. He never does. He just wades in and stands there, looking stiff and uncomfortable. How do you expect to get clean if you don't get yourself wet? He wrinkled his nose.
I don't like to get wet.
This water has special power, son. It revives the spirit. He kind of dipped down and got his brisket wet and scampered out on dry land.
There! I feel much better now.
I just shook my head. Sometimes Drover acts more like a cat than a cow dog. Makes me wonder... Oh, well. We sunned ourselves for a few minutes, then headed on down to the gas tanks. I had a gunny sack bed down there with my name on it, and I was all set to pour myself into it. I was fluffing it up again and getting it arranged just right when I heard the back door slam up at the house. I perked my ears and listened. When the back door slams at that hour of the morning... It often means that Sally May has busted the yolk on High Loper's breakfast egg. He won't eat busted eggs for reasons which I don't understand. Seems to me that an egg's an egg, and after a guy chews it up and swallows it, it's all about the same anyway. But Loper don't see it that way, which is fine with me because around here, in co-op dog food country, an egg in any form is a gourmet delight. I cut my eyes toward Drover. He had his chin resting on his front paws and was drifting off to sleep. He hadn't heard the door slam, and I didn't see that it was my duty to tell him about it. I slipped away from the gas tanks and loped up the hill. Had my taste buds all tuned up for a fried egg when I met Pete. He was going the same direction I was. Get lost, cat. Nobody called your name. He gave me a hateful look and hissed. Well, you know me. I try to live by the golden rule. Do unto others, but don't take trash off the cats. Pete was in the market for a whipping, seemed to me, and I obliged him. Figured I might as well get it over with while it was fresh on both our minds. I jumped him, rolled him, buried him, cuffed him a couple of times, and generally gave him a stern warning about how cats are supposed to behave. After I'd settled that little matter, I trotted up to the yard gate, ready for my egg. Sally Mae was standing there with her hands on her hips. I sat down and swept the ground with my tail, gave her a big smile, and sat up on my back legs. I picked up this little begging trick some years ago. It was pretty tough to learn. I mean, it takes balance and coordination and considerable athletic ability, but it's paid off more than once. People seem to love it. They like to see a dog beg for what they're going to give him anyway. Don't ask me why, but they do. Begging sort of goes against my grain. I mean, my ma was no ordinary mutt. She had papers and everything, and cowdog pride was sort of bred into me. But a guy has to make a living, and now and then he finds himself cutting a few corners. Well, I went up on my hind legs. Sometimes I get my balance the first time, and sometimes I don't. This time it worked. I balanced myself on two legs, and then to add a special touch, I wagged my tail and moved my front paws at the same time. I don't believe the trick could have been done any better. It was really a smasher. I was so busy with the trick that I didn't notice the sour look on Sally Mae's face.
Hank, you big bully, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for picking on that poor cat.
Huh?
Just for that, you don't get this egg. Here, Pete, kitty, 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 kitty.
In a flash, Pete was there. I mean, when it comes to freeloading, he has amazing speed. He gave me a surly grin and went through the gate and started eating my egg. That really hurt. Sally Mae gave Kitty Kitty a nice motherly smile. Then she turned a cold glare on me.
And besides being a bully, you smell awful.
How could she say that? I had just taken a bath, shampooed the whole nine yards. I mean, a guy can't spend his whole life taking a bath. He's got to get out sometime, and when he does, it's just natural that he picks up a few of the smells of the earth. And besides that, I knew for a fact that Pete hadn't taken a bath in years. He hated water even more than Drover did. And he had dandruff, too. You could see it all over him. Looked like he'd been out in a snowstorm. What kind of justice do you have when a dog that takes a bath every day and sometimes two or three times a day gets accused of smelling bad and a rinky-dink cat... Ah, well. Pete was chewing my egg, and every now and then he'd turn his eyes toward me and give me a grin. Let me tell you, it took tremendous self-discipline for me to sit there and watch when all of my savage instincts were urging me to tear down the fence and pulverize that cat. Sally Mae went back into the house. I should have left right there. Just walked away and tried to forget the whole thing. But I didn't. Pete had laid down in front of the plate. I mean, he was too lazy to stand up and eat. He was purring and flicking the end of his tail back and forth and chewing every bite 23 times. I found myself growling. Just couldn't help it. His head came up.
Oh, you hungry, Hanky? You'd like this egg. It just melts in your mouth.
No, thanks. I got better things to do. That was the truth. I did. But dang me, I stayed there. Pete shrugged and went on eating. I watched, and before I knew it, I was drooling at the mouth. Pete got up, took a big stretch, and ambled over to where I was. He started rubbing against the fence. He was so close, I could have snatched him ball-headed, which I wanted to do very sincerely, only there was a wire fence between us.
Well, I'm not sure I can eat all this egg. I'm stuffed. You want the rest of it, Hanky?
I should have said no. I mean, a guy has his pride and everything. But my mouth went to watering at the thought of that egg, and... Oh, I might. Yeah, I'll take it. He grinned and ambled back to the plate. He picked up the egg in his mouth and brought it over to the fence and dropped it right in front of my nose. Well, I wasn't going to give him a chance to reconsider. So I made a grab for it. Hit the darn fence with the end of my nose. But it was right there in front of me. I mean, I could smell it now. It was that close. It was giving off warm waves and delicious smells. I could even smell the butter it had been cooked in. I made another snap at it. Hit the fence and scabbed up my nose. Made my eyes water. When my vision cleared up, I saw Pete sitting there and grinning. I was losing patience fast. Give me that egg. You said I could have it.
Here, I'll move it a little closer.
He got his nose under the egg and nudged it right up against the fence. Well, I just knew I could get it now, so I made another lunge for it. Got a taste of it this time, but also wrecked my nose on that frazzling wire. I could see a piece of skin sticking up right out towards the end. Give me that egg! He licked his paw and purred. Okay, that settled it. I'll fool around and nickel and dime a problem for a while, but there comes a time when you've got to get down to brute strength. I backed off and took a run at it and hit the fence with all my speed and strength. I expected at least two posts to snap off at the ground, and I wouldn't have been surprised if I'd taken out the whole west side. Now, them posts turned out to be a little stouter than I thought, and you might say that the wire didn't break either. The collision shortened my backbone by about 6 inches and also came close to ruining my nose. Give me that egg, cat, or I'll... Pete throwed a hump into his back and hissed, right in my face. That was a serious mistake. No cat does that to Hank the cowdog and lives to tell about it. I started barking. I snarled. I snapped. I tore at the fence with my front paws. I clawed the ground. I mean, we had us a little riot going, fellas, and it was only a matter of time until Pete died a horrible death. And through it all, I could still smell that egg, fried and buttered. The back door flew open, and Loper stormed out. He had shaving cream on one side of his face, and the other side was bright red. Hank, shut up. You're going to wake the baby. I stopped barking and stared at him. Me? What had I... If it hadn't been for the cat... I heard the baby squall inside the house. Sally Mae exploded out the door.
Will you tell that dog to shut up? He just woke up the baby.
Shut up, Hank. Shut up, Hank. Shut up, Hank. That's all anybody ever says to me around here. Not good morning, Hank. Or thanks for saving the ranch from the silver monster bird, Hank. We really appreciate you risking your life while we were asleep. Nothing like that. No siree. Well, I can take a hint. I gave Pete one last glare just to let him know that his days on this earth were numbered, and I stalked back to the gas tanks. I met Drover halfway down the hill. He had just pried himself out of bed.
What's going on, Hank? I heard some noise.
I glared at him. You heard some noise, huh? Well, glory be. It's kind of a shame you didn't come a little sooner when you might have made a hand.
You need some help?
I glanced back up the hill. Sally Mae was still out in the yard, talking to her kitty kitty. Yeah, I need some help. Go up there and bark at the cat.
Just bark at the cat, that's all?
That's all. Give it your best shot.
Any special reason?
General principles, Drover.
Well, okay. I'll see what I can do.
He went skipping up the hill, and I went down to the gas tanks to watch the show. Maybe it was kind of mean of me, sending Drover up there on a suicide mission when he was too dumb to know better. But look at it this way. I get blamed for everything around here, and most of the time I don't deserve it. I figured it wouldn't hurt Drover to get yelled at once or twice, and it might even do him some good. Getting yelled at's no fun, but it does build character. Drover needed some character building. That was one of his mainest problems, a weak character. So I watched. The little runt padded up to the fence, plopped down, sat up on his back legs, and started yipping. Sally Mae put her hands on her hips, gave her head a shake, and said,
"Well, if that isn't the cutest thing."
She pitched him my egg, and he caught it in the air and gulped it down. A minute later, he was down at the gas tanks.
"I did what you said, Hank, and I want a free egg. Are you proud of me?"
I was so proud of him, I thought about blacking both of his eyes. But I was too disgusted. I just went to sleep. That seems to be the only thing I can do around here without getting yelled at. Sleep. I slept until late morning, maybe 10 o'clock or so. What woke me up was Drover's wheezing. He wheezes in his sleep, don't you see? And makes a very peculiar sound. Sometimes I can sleep through it, and sometimes I can't. As a general rule, I'm a light sleeper. That's one of the prices you pay for having sensitive ears. You hear every sound in the night, including some you'd rather not. Don't know what causes Drover's problem. He claims he's allergic to certain weeds. Maybe so. He's also allergic to hard work and danger in any form. Anyhow, there's definitely something wrong with his nose. And speaking of noses, mine was in poor shape after that tussle with Pete and the wire fence. The black leathery part was all scraped up. By crossing my eyes like this, well, you can't see. By crossing my eyes, I could sight down my nose and see little flaps of skin rolled up. I studied the damage for a long time. Kind of made me sad to see my old nose banged up that way. It's a well-known fact that a cow dog tends to be a little vain about his nose. On the one hand, it's a very delicate piece of equipment. On the other hand, it's an object of beauty. Entire books have been written about the natural beauty of a cow dog's nose. Or, if they haven't been written, they dang sure ought to be. I bet they'd sell millions of copies and make somebody tubs full of money. They used to tell that my Uncle Beanie packed his nose in mud every night. He lived to a ripe old age, and right up to the last, the women were just nuts about him. He said it was his nose, said the mud treatment kept it soft and pretty. Anyway, I sat there looking at my nose and listening to Drover wheeze and had my eyes crossed for a long time. And you know what? They got hung up. My eyes, I mean. I couldn't get them uncrossed. That's a serious condition called eye crossorosis. Kind of throwed a scare into me. I shook my head and tossed it up and down. Didn't help. Eyes stayed crossed. I hit the side of my head with my left paw, and that didn't help. So I scratched at it with my hind leg. Nothing. I was getting a little concerned by this time because my eyes being crossed throwed everything out of focus, don't you see? Which sort of left the ranch defenseless. Ma used to tell us not to cross our eyes when we were pups. Said they might not go back to normal. I never believed her. But danged if she wasn't right. Well, I finally decided I'd better sound the alarm. "Drover, wake up. We're in a world of trouble." He wheezed and snored. Didn't wake up. "Drover, get up, son. This is no time to sleep. We could be on the brink of disaster." His head came up and he opened his eyes.
"Beulah?"
"Beulah?" He blinked a couple of times.
"You're not Beulah."
"I'm certainly not, and what do you mean, dreaming about my woman?" You got no right. Look at me, Drover. Tell me what you see. He studied me for a long time, squinted one eye and then the other, looked me up one side and down the other. Well, what do you see? Go ahead and say it. Just spit it out.
A dog.
Look deeper. Details. He looked deeper.
A cow dog?
The face, Drover. Study the face. He cocked his head.
Oh, yeah, I see it now. It looks terrible, Hank.
I was afraid of that. It's pretty obvious, huh?
Sure is.
Do you think I look disfigured? I mean, I don't want to go around looking like a loon or a freak or something.
I'd say you look kind of disfigured, Hank.
That was discouraging news. I tried to walk around and ran into one of the legs on the gas tanks. The worst part of it is that it's messed up my vision. Can't see worth a rip.
Huh. That's really strange, Hank. I wouldn't have thought it would do that.
Oh, it's not so strange when you think about it. What do you reckon I ought to do to cure it?
Beats me. Maybe a mud pack would help.
When a guy can't see, he'll try most anything. I followed Drover down to the sewer, and he helped me up to the edge of the water. I dug balls of mud out with my paws and plastered them over both eyes. Then I laid down to let the healing set in. Must have laid there for half an hour. What do you think now, Drover? Have we waited long enough?
Well, it still looks the same to me. Maybe you better go another hour.
Maybe so. About 15 minutes later, I began to think about what he'd said. Wait a minute. What do you mean it still looks the same to you? I heard him snore and wheeze. Drover, wake up. What do you mean it still looks the same to you?
Huh? What? What do you mean? Well, I guess that means that it don't look any different.
What are you talking about?
Your nose. It still looks beat up and scabby to me.
My nose? I wasn't talking about my nose, you little dunce.
Oh!
How could a scabby nose have anything to do with my vision?
I wondered about that.
I scraped off the mud and opened my eyes. I saw two Drovers staring at me. It didn't help. I'm still afflicted.
Hey, your eyes are crossed!
Very good, Drover. It only took you, what, 45 minutes to pick that up?
More like an hour.
That's just great. I tried to think through my problem one step at a time. Well, this is a fine mess. What am I going to do now?
Well, if your eyes are crossed, maybe you could uncross them.
What a wonderful idea, Drover.
Yeah, it just came to me in a flash.
I bet that was quite a flash.
It was pretty good.
Well, here's another flash. I already thought about that.
You did?
And I tried it.
You did?
And it didn't work.
Oh.
So do you have any other flashes? I mean, with my eyes out of commission, this ranch is in real danger. If the coyotes ever got wind of this, we'd be almost helpless.
Well, my eyes are pretty good. Maybe we could use my eyes and your judgment. How does that sound?
I thought about that for a long time. I didn't want to rush into anything. Making cold, hard decisions is a very important part of being head of ranch security. A guy just doesn't leap into those kinds of decisions. Maybe so. It may be our best shot. But remember, you're still working for me.
Okay.
You furnish the eyes and I'll furnish the brains and... I stopped in the middle of the sentence. My left ear shot up. My pickup had just pulled in at the mailbox and was coming towards headquarters. My reaction was completely automatic. I set up a bark and moved out toward the sound and ran into Loper's roping dummy. Who is it, Drover? Where are they? Point me towards them. This could be serious stuff. Bark, for God's sake. Sound the alarm. He let out his usual yip, 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 which wouldn't have scared a fly, but I guess it was his best lick.
Okay, Hanky, follow me. Here we go.
mighty uneasy following Grover, but I didn't have much choice. We went tearing down the hill, me barking and Grover yipping. I kept right on his tail. I could see that much, even though it was double and out of focus. All at once, he came to a halt. I got myself shut down just in time, almost plowed him under. I mean, you get that much bulk and muscle going in high gear, and you don't just stop on a dime. Grover was spinning in circles and acting awful strange.
Oh, Hank, I just can't go on. I never know what to say.
You're not supposed to say anything, son. Just bark until we can check them out and give them clearance.
But, Hank, can you see who it is?
I squinted and tried to focus on the pickup. About all I could come up with was that it was green. Now, who is it?
It's Beulah.
My goodness, just the mention of her name made me weak and trembly in the legs. Had to sit down and rest a minute.
And Hank, there's somebody with her. It's...
Don't tell me, let me guess. Spotted bird dog, long skinny tail, kind of a goofy expression on his face.
Well, maybe.
It's Plato. She's been sweet on him for a long time, and I've been waiting for a chance to clean house on him.
What are we gonna do?
Stay behind me and stand by for further orders. We could get ourselves into a little skirmish here. I marched out into the lead and headed towards a pickup.
Hank!
Later, son. I got violence on my mind.
But Hank!
I was too deep in concentration to be bothered with his yap. I marched up to the pickup and displayed my hardware. In the security business, that's our way of saying I showed him my teeth. Teeth being the hardware, don't you see? I displayed my hardware. So, fate brings us together at last, Plato. I thought you had better sense.
Hank!
I thought you had better sense than to walk into my territory, Plato. But it's pretty obvious that I overestimated your intelligence.
Hank!
Shut up, Grover. But seeing as how you were foolish enough to come on my ranch, I'm calling you out. Come on, let's have a little violence and bloodshed. Well, that must have thrown a terrible scare into him. I mean, he didn't move a muscle or make a sound, not even a squeak. What's the matter, Plato? You lose your voice all of a sudden? It's kind of embarrassing to get exposed in front of your girlfriend, ain't it?
Hank!
I turned to the little noisemaker. What?
You got the wrong pickup, Hank.
Huh?
They're down at the corral.
I moved closer, sniffed the tires, checked the sign, gave it a thorough going over. This is the wrong pickup, Grover, and since you're in charge of eyes now, I'll have to hold you responsible. I'm afraid this will go on your record.
But Hank!
Grover, there's only two kinds of pickups in this world. Right ones and wrong ones. This is a wrong one. Study it carefully and memorize the signs. Next time, I'll expect better information.
But Hank!
You think you can find the right pickup now?
I guess so.
All right, let's move out. You can go first. Take the scout position. But don't forget who's running the show.
Okay, Hank, just follow me.
And with that, we marched down to the corral to attend to the funeral of a certain spotted bird dog.